Christmas and this time of year. Let us turn to hymn number 82 as we continue singing God's praises this morning. 82 in the blue hymn book as we get ready for the baptisms. The baptism candidates can sit up out here on the front row. All baptism candidates can come right on out here and sit on the second row here. So all baptism candidates, come on out. And let us sing number 82 as we worship the Lord. This morning, Praise Ye, or John, what is the songs for today? I
guess.
That's okay, so. Okay, so let us go to 51, Blessed Assurance, number 51. 51. Blessed Assurance. Let's all stand together as we sing this wonderful hymn to know that we are saved. 51.
Blessed Assurance. Perfect divine.
before we sing that third verse, what are you thankful to God for? Knowing we have this blessed assurance of our salvation in Jesus Christ, and it's resting upon Him, not upon our performance. What are you thankful to God for about that this morning, Armani?
That even when we wait, He's still on time.
Okay, amen. Even when we pray for something, God is never too late when we ask for something. Yes, Trevor? Amen. All right. It's good to have Trevor here for the first time. Trevor Benton, right? All right. Good to have Trevor from Egg Harbor Township. Anyone else? Yeah, James.
I'm glad I'm here for all my friends.
Okay.
I'm glad I woke up this morning.
Amen.
I'm thankful for everybody that's here in my family.
Amen. Amen. All right. Let us sing that third verse.
Perfect submission, all is at rest.
Together in prayer this morning. There's a few prayer requests to pray for. Pastor Logan, Patty Campbell was moved to Egg Harbor Care Center. And also, if we could pray for Danny Rivera, he took out his lower back yesterday through some kind of accident, so he's laying up in bed today. So pray for Danny Rivera. And let us pray for those, and also for the California fires and all that is going on over there. And Carol?
Tim will be getting his results tomorrow.
Okay, let's also pray for Tim Gibson, who had some masses taken out of his body. Let us go to prayer at this time.
Our Father and our God, we do thank you for your presence this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to share a blessing with these of like precious faith.
Amen.
Thank you for keeping us through last night, Lord, and while the weather went and did its thing, Lord, we thank you that you kept us all safe and sound.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for being here this morning. We thank you for those that rode the bus and that were safe to there, Lord. Thank you for those that decided to come out this morning, Lord, and to worship with us, Lord, spirit and in truth. Thank you for Pastor Rice and his family, Lord. Continue to bless them. We thank you for Brother Rice. Continue to pray for him, Lord. Just continue to bless the children, Lord, and those that are going through some traumatic experience in their lives, Lord. We pray that you might bring a healing in that case, Lord. And Father, for Danny, we pray for him that you might continue to be with him and heal his body, Lord. For each one that is here this morning, Lord, we pray for them, Lord, that you might continue to be with them and guide them. For Sister Eunice, Lord, we pray, thank you for seeing her today, Lord, and we pray Amen. That you might continue to heal her, Lord, be with her and guide her and keep her. In Jesus' name we pray. Pray that she may get her job back, Lord, and all will go well there. Father, we just thank you for this day, and as Pastor has mentioned, there are many in the California fires that lost their lives. I believe the count is about 80 today, and still many are lost or not found. We pray that they may be found alive. Continue to bless that neighborhood, Lord, and may this be, may they see it and all that's going on, that God is allowing it for a purpose, and may they see it in their lives, Lord. They may turn their lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And those that are saved, we pray that they may witness to those that in the camp that are not saved. We thank you, Lord, for Brother John being here today and for his continued healing. For his daughter, Justine, Lord, we pray for her and for his mom, Lord. Continue to bless them. We thank you, Lord. We love you. And we pray for the sermon this morning. That Pastor may be filled with thy spirit, that he may preach on the very word of God. Again, we thank you. We love you. And we leave it all in your hand. All of God's people said.
Amen. You may be seated. This time, I'm going to ask Mr. Hodge to come and lead the next hymn, which is 74, Singing I Go a Long Life's Road, and then Living for Jesus. After that, as we have the baptisms, we have three or four candidates for baptism this morning. So that song, and then after that. gentlemen can help Mr. Hodge move the pulpit to the side, some teens, some young men, that'd be great. Thank you.
I think it's on page number 74. Page number 74, Sing and I Go. So how do you have those songs, Kevin?
Praising the Lord, praising the Lord. remember to work. Thankful for that. Oh, yeah, wait, she's got to get the footage. Okay, thank you, Don. Don, I'm going to put the...
Yeah, here we go. We have this one. All right, let us turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 8 this morning as we think on baptism. What is baptism? What is the importance of it? And so, Acts chapter 8 in our Bibles. Acts 8 and verse 26. Acts 8 and verse 26 through 40. Acts 8, 26 through 40. Let's all find it. And when you have found it, please stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. We'll read it responsively. I'll read 26, you read 27, and so forth. Great, exciting passage of Scripture of the early church. Acts 8, 26. Thank you. Acts 8, 26. Let us read. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest what thou readest? The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. May God bless to our hearts the reading of His Word. You may be seated. What a beautiful passage of Scripture this is that clearly explains baptism. That here, what happened to the Ethiopian treasurer? Something very special. He was reading Isaiah, the prophet. He was reading Isaiah, Isaiah 44 or 42, somewhere around there, Isaiah 53. And as he was reading, he said, Who is this prophet? Who is this man who shall come to save the world from their sins? He wanted to know who this was. And sure enough, Philip then preached unto him Jesus. How Jesus was the one who suffered. And was led as dumb. It means dumb as in Jesus did not speak at all as he went to the cross. When his accusers accused him, Jesus uttered not a word to them. Why? Because he was going to judgment. He knew that this was his time to take away the sins of the world. And he had nothing, of course, to defend himself against. He is the Christ, the perfect Lamb of God. And so the Ethiopian treasurer was amazed, and he was under great conviction from God as he left Jerusalem, hearing the messages about Jesus, and he wanted to be saved. And so right there, the eunuch said, well, first, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? He heard about the prophet or the preachers there in Jerusalem preaching about baptism. And he said, well, how do I, I want to get baptized. And what did Philip say? Well, first, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. The first thing that has to be done, baptism won't take you to heaven. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then thou shalt be saved. Okay, so as soon as you get saved, then you are a candidate for baptism. And so sure enough, then he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's his salvation statement. In the new versions, they cast doubt upon these verses, or they take them out entirely, Acts 8:37, and they try to cast doubt. So what do churches eventually start doing? They stop reading this passage. Why? Because they read all the footnotes that say, oh, this isn't in the oldest manuscripts, and it's a bunch of junk that's not true. Not true. It's the devil trying to cast aspersions on the Word of God. And so sure enough, unfortunately, many churches have switched versions, and now they doubt many portions of the Word of God. So I'm thankful that we do not do that here at Northfield Baptist. This time we'll ask in our first candidate for membership. And I'm thankful for Brother John helping me in the pool here. So let's have Messiah come on in. Messiah Mercado, and why don't you share with us? We'll give you the microphone, okay? How and when you were saved by Jesus?
I was saved last VBT.
Last VBT, okay. And what did you ask the Lord to do for you?
To forgive me.
Of what?
My sins.
Good, okay. So that wasn't this past June. That was the June before, correct? Okay. And how do you know you're on your way to heaven?
Because I was saved.
Good. And what book tells you that?
The Bible.
Very good. Excellent job. All right. Messiah Mercado, upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus' command that all believers be baptized, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And all God's people said,
Amen.
All right, come on down. Our next candidate is Blessing Mercado. Good to have you with us, Blessing. And tell us, Blessing, how and when you were saved by the Lord Jesus.
Last Sunday.
Last Sunday, or was it a few months ago with Miss? Who was it with? Which teacher led you to the Lord? Mrs. Hodge? Mrs. Campbell? Miss Patty? Who was it?
Miss Esther.
Miss Esther? Good. And what did you ask the Lord to do with you?
Forgive me.
Of what?
For my sins.
Good. And did he do that?
Yes.
All right. Wonderful. The Bible says so. Blessing Mercado, upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ and his command that all believers be baptized, I now baptize you. Is her last name Fuqua? Fuqua, I'm sorry. Blessing Fuqua, upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ and his command that all believers be baptized, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And now our next one is Eric Seaman. All right, what a blessing it is to have many get baptized and follow the Lord. And we invite you, if you have been saved, but you have not yet been baptized, we invite you to do this. It's easy, as you see.
The kids make it look real easy. It is easy. And you can even hold your doze. And we don't hold you under. Go right down under and right back up. So we invite you to do this. In 2 weeks, we're going to have another, we're having one more baptism tonight. We invite you to come back tonight and get baptized. Or in 2 weeks, on Sunday, we're having another baptism service. So we invite you to join us. Eric, tell us how and when you were saved by the Lord Jesus.
I thank God for my sins, and you know, I was blessed with everybody.
Okay.
The pastor helped me out. I had some problem, but the Lord worked it out for me.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, yeah, I can't read though, but the Lord showed me the way to join the church, and we are children.
Uh-huh. And so, was that about 6 weeks ago at the Atlantic Adult Day Center?
Yes, it was.
And you prayed and asked
and
the Lord?
I prayed and keep me in my presence.
Okay, and did you tell him you were a sinner?
I'm a sinner.
And did you ask him to save you?
I wish he saved me.
Amen. So how do you know that you're saved today?
Because the Lord want me to be saved.
Amen.
Because, you know, we all, like you said, we all got people
saved. We're all God's children.
Children.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So the Bible says so, right?
Right.
All
right.
Good. Okay. Eric Seaman, upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ and his command that all believers be baptized, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And all God's people said, Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right.
Wonderful.
Okay. That is all the candidates for now. So we invite you, if you haven't done it yet, in 2 weeks we'll be having a baptism Sunday.
Let's turn back to the handbooks of page number 470. Living for Jesus, page 470. Everyone has it? Living for Jesus, the life that is true, striving to please Him. In all that I do, healing, allegiance, God of bed and free, this is the pathway of blessing for me. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I myself to thee, Father, in thine atonement, they gave thyself for me. I know all of my soul, my heart shall be thy throne, my life, my gift, and for to live. Living for Jesus, who died in
Time we'll direct your attention to our bulletin. We can have our ushers hand out the bulletin. If you need one, just wave at the ushers. It's a blessing to be together today in church. And we are glad that you are here with us. Good to have first-time visitor Trevor Benton with us from Egg Harbor Township. Good to have him. And we're glad that you are attending with us. Just by way of announcements, we want to direct your attention there to, we do have some Christmas program flyers available on the back table as we get ready for Christmas. Our program is on December 23rd at 10:45, the Sunday right before Christmas, and we want to invite all of our friends and family to come with us for that program. It's going to be a drama. It's very interesting. It's a drama as well as some choir numbers. And it'll just be a great time and a live nativity with the kids all being in it. So we want to get as many on board as possible to come and fill the church up for Christmas. So take some of these with you. They're on the back table there. There's 100 of them. So take as many as you need, and we'll print more as you need more. And so this is a great tool to invite people to church this Christmas season. Then the bulletin says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" We praise the Lord for his reviving of us today through these baptisms. Now we have memberships coming up here shortly. So let's move rather quickly through the announcements. Let us, we want to mention next Sunday we have missionary to Israel, Jonathan Bucher, will be coming next Sunday as he will present his burden for the mission field of Israel. He'll be preaching in Sunday school, morning worship, and evening service. And we would love to have as many out as possible to hear what God is doing in Israel, to hear what God is putting on the call to this young man. He's just a few years younger than me, and I look forward to hearing what God is doing in his life. Then our Good News Club is this Thursday, so all of our workers, let us be ready for Thursday, and we look forward to the many kids that we've had, the 21 kids these last couple weeks. Then on the insert page of the bulletin, there is a new prayer letter from the Kellers, and they changed their title at the top. Instead of the Kellers in Russia, it says the Kellers in Ukraine. And as I read this letter, I was just so blessed at all the things that they're starting. You think we're busy here in our church? Well, just read this and read about the Bruners, what they're doing, and you'll see that that all churches that are truly worth their salt are going forward with the gospel ministry and seeking out souls to win for Christ. So I encourage you. We'll read that later on if we have time. Just by way of other announcements, our Christmas dinner is on December 16th, and our Christmas program is on December 23rd. And then December 9th is another baptism and membership day. So we look forward to that in 2 weeks. Are there any other announcements that need to be mentioned this time? Any other announcements? Okay. Yes, John.
You mentioned you told me I reminded you about the possible trip to Pete's.
Yes. Yes. We have an option if anyone wants to do some food shopping and things that's at a discount grocery store. They get a lot of wholesale items. Anyway, we were looking at the Thursday, December 7th. We don't have a Good News Club that day. So is that a Thursday, John? December 7th. So if anyone would like to go with the church group, we can take one of the...
Friday the 7th.
Okay, then the 6th. Yeah. Right. Okay, December 6th, Thursday. If you're interested in going, tell John or myself, and we can get one of the church vans together. Do some Christmas shopping, do some grocery shopping that Thursday, December 6th. So let us know if we have people interested in a trip, an adult trip to those places. And we can, if we have to take, if you need babysitting, we can take some of the kids if you need a babysitter. But the focus is on the adults. All right, then this time we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord of our tithes and offerings to God. God says, that give and it shall be given unto you. Jesus said, good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom that which we give to God. So Jesus tells us to give and he will take care of us, just like he took care of the widow with two mites. She put in all that she had and Jesus said he was going to take care of her. And she got richly more than all she could ever ask for by giving her money to God. So let us give our monies, that tithe and offering to God, so that we can be blessed of God. Let us bow together in prayer.
Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this day that we can assemble together, Lord, to worship you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, to give the funds that you have given unto us, to give the tithe that it may take care of the finance responsibilities here at our church. We ask your blessing upon each gift and each giver. We pray that your name will be glorified as we give us that which you have given to us and we share it with today, Lord. That you will be glorified, and Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
One more announcement, the 6th, there's a conflict for December 6th, Thursday for Glen Shopping. So do we want to do Friday, December 7th, or Saturday, December 8th? Does anybody have a preference? Okay, anyone? Okay, well, let John know which one works better for you, and if you would like to go on that shopping trip, let us know. And Mr. Hodge, yes, all teens, if you can put your cell phones into the baskets as he comes around, that way we just want to keep them from being a distraction to you. Don't worry, you'll get them back right after the service. This time, let's turn back to our hymn book as we sing one last song. And then we have our memberships. Let us turn to 461. We'll sing the first verse of this song, and then we'll ask all of our candidates for membership to come with the deacons so that we can hear their testimonies and welcome new members into the church. What an exciting day this is. Let us turn number 461. Oh, to be like the Blessed Redeemer. 461. Let's stand together as we sing this song.
Oh, to be like the Blessed Redeemer. This is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly afford them all of her treasures. Jesus, I perfect likeness can share. All to be like thee, all to be like thee, blessed be.
Deacon Hodge and Deacon Watkins to come to present the candidates for membership.
And we want to start out by saying we're so grateful to see that those get baptized today, this morning.
Amen.
We look forward to one tonight. And it's a great blessing whenever we see God's children get baptized.
Amen.
You know, we know that the angels are rejoicing in heaven as well. We want to recognize those that have been asked for membership today. We're going to call you up. We have Holly Rice, Vaughn Vandenberg, Eunice Dimitro.
Dimitrio.
Armani Flacqua.
She's going to do in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Okay.
Yep. Messiah Mercado. Blessing Mercado.
Blessing Fuqua.
Fuqua, that.
Yep.
Zion Mercado and Zamora Mercado. Turn up the volume on channel 5. There we go.
Okay, you got it. Not too loud.
Okay, let's get that far.
Let's start at the end. Can you give a testimony as to how and when you were saved?
I was saved last VBT. Two last VBTs.
Alright. Okay.
I was saved last Sunday.
Just give your testimony about that.
Five months ago.
Okay. All right. Hold on, then you'll say it.
Well, I was saved a number of years ago, but I rededicated my life just over a year. No, last year. Last year. Yep. Thank you.
I was saved July 12th, 1968. The Lord's been really good. The Lord's been really good to me and has helped me through many and many a things in my journey. And He continues to help. So the Lord's faithful.
Amen.
I was saved 2016 BBT.
Okay. I was saved April 2014.
I was saved last BBT.
Okay. Alright.
Brother Eric?
He already gave his testimony.
Well, he gave his testimony in the pool. However, each of these individuals, we have between the pastor, Brother John and myself, they have heard their testimonies as to how and when they were saved, and they have requested membership. We'd like to recommend them to a church for membership, and in that light, we'd like to ask each one, those who are in favor of their membership, to do so by raising your right hand. And can you hold it for a minute when you put it up? Our number discussion. Okay, we have a unanimous number. You may take your hand down. We'd like to say welcome to each of you, Eric, and right to the whole number.
Claire. And the dates of the baptisms of those that we didn't see. Mm-hmm. You might want to ask them.
Yes.
Which one? Okay, right. But we'd like to recommend, say that the church has recommended you, and I'd like to say welcome to the church. Let's do it. We got right hand. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome, Eric. You have another one?
In the office? Yes.
Okay, you're there. Can you give your testimony on how you were saved?
Yes, on September the 23rd of this year.
Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We have another addition on, one who we recommend to this church for membership. She also gave a testimony. All right, you're welcome. Anyone like to give a word of encouragement?
Make sure everybody knows her name.
Regina
got baptized earlier this year, I think just like a month or two ago, but here in our church.
Anyone have a word of encouragement for any of them, our members? Any members of the church? Okay.
I would like to welcome every one of you, and we are happy to have you join us. And we hope that you will continue your membership with us. Thank you.
Amen. Anyone else? Words of encouragement.
Yeah, I want to encourage all the everybody, not just the new members, but also, you know, old members. You know, we want to read our Bible every day and pray every day. It's so important. We start our morning and we end our day with those two things.
Amen. Anyone else with words of encouragement to the new members?
This works.
Oh, right here. We have it. Sorry.
I want to encourage each member, and especially the young people, but if you think about the body and you think about, like, when you're sick or if you're injured, and what part of the body is not as functional. So when you join the body of Christ, you're going to notice the difference in your Christian walk. You're going to notice that following through with the true work of Christ and life of Christ, you're going to find different levels of encouragement, not only within the church, but in your own spiritual battle. And of course, Satan's going to want to attack you more so now, because you're following him. And that in mind, this is my point with the young people. You know, you think about the Phillies or the Eagles, they put on that jersey and they represent that team. They're still individual people. A lot of people know them by name, but yet they are part of a team. And so, you know, we are here to uplift you. We uplift one another. But when you go out into the world, Satan wants to bring you down. So that way, basically, like, the testimony of the team is down or the church is down. So remember, when you're in public school or wherever you are, you're representing Christ, you're representing your church, and you are now part of one body. So you're the hand, you're the eye, you're the feet, you're whatever God has called you to be, and you get to discover that now more so as you're growing up. And I guess I'm focusing on the children because my daughter is doing this way, but even for the adults, remember, you know, we're all here to support you, and we want to encourage you. So remember, Satan is going to want to attack, but remember, this is why he wants to attack. He wants to bring down the name of our Holy Lord. So he knows that you're going to represent the Lord, and that you are an image of him. And if he can ruin that, you know what? Ask Lord for forgiveness and apologize when necessary and move on so that way you can have your salt and your light for Christ. He's going to want to attack that. So.
Amen. That's right. Anyone else with word left for encouragement? Go ahead, Carol.
Yeah, if you're too young or too old to take the word of God with you wherever you go. Two verses that have seen my husband and I through thick and thin are found in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understandings. In all your ways, not some, but all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Stay humble before him. And that's really important in today's world. Stay humble before him, and he will direct your paths.
Amen. All right, amen. Someone else? Anyone else? Maybe?
Yes, I would like to.
Okay, go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, what a blessing it is to have each one of you join, and it's, what a privilege it is to be your pastor and just to see you obeying the Lord in this next step. And I know that God is going to do a great and mighty things through each one of you. Every one of you has talents, abilities, or spiritual gifts to add to this church. So let us know where you want to serve, because we want to plug you in. As wherever there's a need, we want to have you help fill it, and in return, you'll get God's joy in your life. We're just so thankful for each one of you and the blessing you are to us, and we encourage you, each one of you, to go forward for God in victory, and we'll lay up treasure together here in this church at Northfield Baptist.
Amen. And I hope each one of listeners encouragement. And finally, I'd like to say, just be faithful to the Lord, be faithful in the word of God each day, and let God guide you by his Holy Spirit in your everyday walk of life.
Take one and pass it down. These are the new member information sheets. You can fill that out today.
Just a reminder for each new member that after church, we like for each of you to stand up front. We like to have the members greet you. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you. You're able to back to you,
amen. At this time, we'll dismiss those sixth grade and younger. Actually, Carol, if you don't mind keeping them in, we have the message today is appropriate for them as well. Okay. All right. Let's stay in today. It's abbreviated because we don't have much time left. Let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And instead of coming to the front, we'll ask all the new candidates at the back as we leave. If we can greet you, that would be wonderful. Welcome you into the church. And I think this is a momentous day in our, at least at Northfield Baptist Church, the most members joining in one day. I think we had 8 before. Now this is, I believe, how many was it today, John? So. 8, okay, so we tied our record.
Nine
joining, and 3 getting baptized, and 1 more tonight, and in 2 weeks we look forward to more. Romans chapter 8, as we look into the Word of God for the message today, Romans 8, I believe this is a very important message for new members in a local church, but also it's important for each one of us as Christians in this local church, that the devil is trying to
not to have us think about this, but it's so important to think about. And it's a growth principle that I believe we all need. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can look into your word this morning. We pray you'd speak to our hearts. Help us to apply Romans 8 to our lives today, that we might have joy in our Christian life and victory and blessings from being a spiritual Christian. In Jesus' name, and I pray you fill me with thy spirit and fill each one of us with your spirit, that we may be doers of the word, not hearers only. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans 8:1, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Here we see, this is a verse that oftentimes gets misquoted. Okay? Misquoted. I've heard it. In fact, I didn't know it was any different until later on in my Christian life when I heard the whole verse. Okay? That we often like to quote, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." And that is not entirely true. Okay? That yes, we are uncondemned as a standing before Christ because we are justified by him. However, now it doesn't stop there. "Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." The way we live uncondemned by God as a Christian is by walking after the Spirit. Here we see, we can't just claim part A of this verse without part B of this verse. Paul had, the whole point of Romans 8 is that part about walking after the Spirit. Okay, so here we see the law of the Spirit of in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." Here we see, number one, the spiritual Christian has freedom to serve the Lord. The spiritual Christian is unfettered by what everyone else is fettered by. The spiritual Christian has said, "You know what? I'm giving up my rights to take on God's claim on my life. I am taking on God's claim on my life." A spiritual Christian is saying, "I don't need sin to be happy." Isn't that interesting?
Right.
I don't need sin to be happy. The world tells us the opposite. The world tries to tell us we need sin to be happy, because that's the only way you can get happiness, is by doing something bad. Well, let's think about that. What happens if we keep on doing bad things? Well, eventually, we're going to destroy ourselves. That's exactly what verse 6 says. Let's read verse 6 together. Romans 8 and verse 6. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Here we see, wait, what happens to the person who just lives for themselves their whole life? You know, they don't say no to drugs, they say yes to drugs. They don't say no to promiscuity and immorality, they say yes. They don't say no to parties and alcohol and everything else, they say yes. They don't say no to harmful substances that go into their body, they say yes. That's exactly what verse 6 is saying. If you say yes to vices that will slowly destroy your body, what are you going to reap? It's not rocket science. You know, every time we go to the doctor, they ask us very important questions, right? They ask you, "Have you drunk any what? Liquor. Have you drunk any alcohol lately? Are you a drinker? Are you a what? What else do they ask us? A smoker. Okay? Why? What now opens up to them if you say yes? What's that?
What? I can't hear you.
They have to check you for a bunch of new things, right? A whole nother lab test they need to check you for. They got to check your lungs, your liver, your kidneys. Why? Because continual smoking tears those organs down, okay? Same thing with alcohol, okay? Are you a drinker? Yes or no? Well, let's see. Moderate, heavy, whatever, okay? They have to then, if you say yes to any of those, thank God, I have not ever had to say yes to any of those things, so they don't have to do those panel tests on me. I'm thankful for that, and it's only by the grace of God. But you can say that to the doctor, say, no, I haven't ever done that. I've never had to do that. I never wanted to, and I never had to, and I'm thankful I haven't now. Because the doctor doesn't have to say, oh, we did the tests, and guess what? Your liver's failing. Your kidneys are failing. You've got in your lungs, we found some polyps and masses. You know, how long have you been smoking? I'm so thankful. See, that's what God is saying here in Romans 8, that if we want to live a longer life, we need to have a spiritual mind. It's life and peace. But to be carnally minded is death. Just ask our friends in high school. You know, when we graduated high school, we knew certain ones that were not doing so hot, and we're going down that party road. And how many know of some of your same classmates in high school that have died already due to any number of those risk factors? Anyone? I know some. Okay? And some of us are younger, some of us are older, but maybe we have heard the news shortly after high school. And that's just reality, that if people continually to do what their body wants them to do, what is going to be the product and the end result? It's going to be death. It's going to be death. It's there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Romans 8 and verse 4 says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We are now a showpiece, especially if we've been saved and baptized and a church member. We are now a showpiece of God. God says, we are his masterpiece. Says in Romans 10, let's go over there. Romans 10. I'm trying to think of the verse, for it is God that willeth to do, both to do and for his good pleasure. Does anybody know where that? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Does anybody know the reference for that one? Okay, I'm glad I'm not the only one. Okay, so we are his workmanship. We are his masterpiece. He wants the world to see what in us? He wants the world to see there is a better way.
Ephesians
2:10. Thank you. Ephesians 2:10. Let's turn over there. He wants the world to see there's a better way to live. You don't have to give in continually to sin in order to have a blessed life. That we are his workmanship. Let's go over there. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Okay, so we are his trophies of good works. You know, just like we like to set our trophies where, young people, how many of you have trophies? Okay, what's your coolest trophy that you've ever earned? Tell me. Some more?
Second place from here
at the regional master clubs?
Oh, no, I got first place.
Okay, you got first place. So what'd you get second place from here for?
Mm-hmm.
VBT, all right. You, for most points, was it most verses, that kind of thing? All right, wow, that is something to be proud of. Okay, what else? What did you earn as a trophy? Or how about adults, too? We don't want just kids to chime in.
I earned a trophy from running.
For running, okay, good. Eric?
Track,
okay.
And I did all sports.
Okay, all right. James?
I got a trophy one time.
Bowling, okay. Okay, and so what do we do with those trophies? Especially if it's something we're really proud of. We put that trophy at a prominent place in our room. You know, we set it up high so we could see it from time to time. And why? Because it represents the great achievement that we did. Well, guess what? God has put us in his trophy case that he's displaying to everyone. He's, as everyone's coming in and out, all around God, guess what he is putting on display? He's putting us on display. So therefore, we have many incentives to want to live spiritual. What is a spiritual Christian? A spiritual Christian is one that's walking in the Spirit. That's wanting the Holy Spirit's continual presence in their life. You know, if you're a Christian and you don't want the Holy Spirit's continual fellowship in your life, and you don't want to try to keep your sins confessed, and you don't really care, well then you're not a spiritual Christian, you're a carnal Christian. One that's just concerned about carnality, which is carnal, carnality. Carnality is flesh. Carne in Spanish is flesh, meat. You know, you go to the carniceria, that's the meat market, okay? Well, okay, so here Paul is saying to us, hey, you can live as a carnal Christian, sure, but it's not going to be fun, number one. It's not going to be happy, number two. It's not going to be blessed. And number four, you're going to have continual problems, and it's going to tend toward death sooner rather than later. Okay? So it's not that God doesn't give us the freedom to live as a Christian however we want. No, we are not robots. There's not one person that's here that's a robot. God doesn't force us to do anything. We can live for ourselves, or we can live for God. There are two choices on the shelf: pleasing God or pleasing self, someone said. And so we don't have to, but there are going to be consequences to living carnally. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So here we see Christ is in us. The Holy Spirit is in us if you are saved this morning. Now, if you're not saved, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, guess what? You're on your way to hell. At any moment, the floor can drop out from under you, and when you die, you will fall into a devil's hell for all eternity. You say, why? What have I done? God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every lie that we've told, every theft that we've done, every look of lust that we've done, every time we disobeyed our parents, every time we coveted, every time we've taken something that's not ours, all those things are sending us to hell if you don't know Christ as Savior. I'm thankful that I realized that in 1985 and I said, Lord, I don't want to die in my sins. I don't want to go to hell. I want to repent. I'm done with those sins. I want Jesus to save me. And praise the Lord, he did. He saved me. And when I called on him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I claim that verse. And you can claim that verse today if you're not saved. Now, coming back, so if you are saved, we have Christ in us. We have the Holy Spirit in us. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, what? Abba, Father. So here we see the beautiful thing that God has put in us since we've been saved. We are not happy in what anymore? Sin. The beautiful thing that God has put in us the moment we trusted Christ is we are not happy in sin anymore. Before we were saved, you know, we felt a little bit of our guilty conscience. You know, we could feel the conviction a bit of the Holy Spirit because He was trying to work from the outside in to draw us to Christ. But generally, it didn't bother us that much. But now that you're saved, it bothers you a lot. It bothers you a whole lot. You say, how do you know, Pastor? I'm a Christian, and guess what? I'm not bothered when I sin. Oh, you're lying. You're lying to yourself. But you can't fool God. You've been saved. You've been bought by the blood of the Lamb. You've been bought out of the slave market of the devil. And you've been set on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And He brought you, took you out of the miry clay and set your feet upon a rock. Jesus is making you satisfied in life thus far. He's the only one who can. If you get every Christmas present on your list, and if you get everything your heart desired, guess what? I guarantee you, a month after Christmas, guess what? You're going to tell me, you know, those gifts are great and all, but I'm on to other things now. Wait, you just got these brand new toys and brand new this and that, and you're on to, yeah, I'm on to other things now. They're not that great. Why? Because things will never make us truly joyful in life. Jesus is the only one who can do that for us. Jesus is the only one who can put that joy in us in the morning, and it can stay through the afternoon, and it stays through the night, and then it gets us through the night and gives us into the next morning and afternoon and night, and day after day, the joy of Jesus is our strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's what it says in the Bible. It's not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. That's what we need in our life. We don't need more things to make us happy. We need Jesus to make us happy. And so we see here that what is our job then as Christians? Our job, number four, is our job is to be good morticians. You say, what is a mortician? Okay, someone has their phone on. Please turn it off. Or, yes. Okay, our job as Christians is to be, God is jealous over this time. God does not like it when we rob time from Him. Our job as Christians is to be good mortifiers. What is a mortifier? Okay. Let's think about it. What are we trying to mortify? Mortify means, okay, we'll break down the word. Mort means what? Death. Good. Okay. Mort means death. If I means what? Okay. Make or put to. Put to or make. So if you add if I to sanctify, make more holy, justify, make righteous, mortify, make dead. What does God want us to make dead? Sin. And what are the things that creep up in our body that make us want to sin? Let's say you smell really good food. Food smells so good. But, you know, I just got to be a little more patient till I get home and make dinner. But instead, you covet that restaurant food that you don't have money for. So what do you need to put to death at that moment in your body? What's one of your enemies in your body at that moment? Covetousness of your what? Messiah? Of what? Your lungs? Okay, we're getting closer. We're getting closer. Okay, lungs. Okay, good. What comes into our, or what helps us get air into our lungs? Our nose, right? Your nose is cold. In your nose is your olfactory gland, which is an amazing little organ. It's right in your nose, and it actually takes in all those smells, and it sends signals to your brain. Oh, that smells wonderful. Oh, you need to eat that steak right now. Oh, you need to have that burger right now. And your olfactory gland, your nose is telling your body what to do at that moment, even though you don't have money for that. So what should you do at that moment to live righteously and to walk after the Spirit at that moment? Tell your nose what? No. What? You're telling me no? That smells so delicious though. No! I said no! Okay. Alright. And all of a sudden those sensations and that smell kinda gets dulled and dumbed down. Okay? That's what we literally need to do to walk in the Spirit. We need to tell our body members no. Okay? Now what about if your ears hear something? Oh wow, oh I like that song. But wait, it does. Your mind tells you, wait, the mind of Christ that's in you says that song is not glorifying to God. Oh, but my ears like it. I gotta listen to my ear. No. Do we have to listen to our ear? No. Who's in charge of your body? Jesus is, and He's given you the mind of Christ. So your mind, your brain is in charge of your body, not your other organs, okay? And so that's what we gotta do every day is we've gotta put to death those organs and those body members. Now we're not actually killing them, we're just telling them no and absolutely no. We're saying no, you are not gonna tell me what to do. No ear, you're not gonna tell me what to listen to. No eye, you're not gonna tell me what I have to do right now. Your eye wants to play a video game. But you know you haven't read your Bible yet, and you haven't prayed yet, and that video game is just going to be a waste of time. So what is your eye trying to do to you? Make you look at something you shouldn't look at, okay? So here we see our body is not our best friend. Our body is made up of flesh, okay? It's carnal. God says there are three enemies, are the world, the flesh, and the devil. Our flesh is probably our worst enemy. Most of the time, okay? The devil will try to attack, and using the world, he will try to ensnare us, but our body is the one that wants to give in to the world. So it's our body that we need to say no to, and we need to put to death. Say, no, absolutely not. I'm not going to play that video game. I haven't read my Bible. I haven't prayed. And number two, that video game, I've been wasting a lot of time on that. And number three, and if that other video game over there is just absolutely horrible, and it's dreadful, or the images, the immodesty of the men and the women, the this and that in there, killing people. That does not please God. That's not what I should be occupying my mind with every day. Okay? Young people, the devil is trying to get to your mind, to warp it, to destroy it, to make it deranged, to make it think on not Christ and His goodness, but on yourself and what you want to do only. So don't let the devil warp your mind through video games that are not godly and other things, or else you will not have a spiritual mind, you'll have a carnal mind. And guess what? That's going to lead toward bad decision after bad decision after bad decision into sadness and sorrow. And so we need to cry out every day, we have received the Spirit of adoption. So what should we cry out to God every day for His help? In this very important area. Is this easy? No, it's not easy to say no to your body and to its members. But who should we ask for help every day? Specifically verse 15, we should say, Abba, Father. Daddy, help me! Daddy, help me! I need your help today. My body and the devil is trying to get to me and the world, and I need your help today. And we cry out to God, Abba Father, every day. Lord, help me to say no to my sin, to myself. And that's what we need. We need that, and guess what? When that happens, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, verse 16, that we are the children of God. Guess what? You'll get victory in that moment as you cry out to God. Lord, God, help me. Father, Daddy, help me! And sure enough, at that moment, God will come in strong and powerful in your life. He will help you do the right. He'll help you read your Bible, pray, go to church. He'll help you put away the wrong, the sins that your body parts are desiring. And He will bear witness with your spirit that you are His child. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. He will then comfort you. As you get victory over that thing, He'll then open up the door to something much better. You'll feel much better about yourself. You'll feel much better about your relationship with God. There will be no guilt because you have just gotten victory in that area. You show that you're a joint heir of God. You are inheriting your mansion that Jesus is preparing. You know, right now, Jesus is preparing a mansion for you. I was listening to the Charles Westcoe Memorial Service, this missionary that died in Cameroon a few weeks ago, a month ago. And just hearing the different testimonies and the different preachers and the different, and his wife and the kids. And just, it was very moving. I'd like to show bits and clips of it. But it's very moving how this missionary decided a long time ago. He was just in the workaday world. He tuned pianos for a living. He worked with music. He was a music pastor in his church. But then God said to him, hey, Charles, I want you to be a missionary. Charles, I'm calling you to the field of Africa. And he and his wife prayed about it, and sure enough, they obeyed God's call. So with seven kids, they went out and raised support for 3 years. And so he served God. He was about early 40s. He served God for quite a few years. But then, as they got out to the mission field, 14 days into their time, a stray bullet from the Cameroon fighters fighting against the government fighters, stray bullet or some rebel fighter just shot. And as they were driving along, went right into missionary Westco's head, killed him immediately. And he leaves behind a wife and seven children. But just hearing his testimony, his wife's testimony, and all the children, and just seeing all that God is doing, he has brothers who are now going to help raise those children living here in the States. But I believe it was, and the other pastors said this, I believe this was God's waking up. The next generation of young missionaries. We need missionaries on the field. This generation is not going to the field as the previous generations had. As I get the different field reports from the different mission boards, there's just not as many people going to the mission field anymore. Why is that? It's because of this very same principle that we're looking at. Christians are not dying to self. They're living for self. We need to realize we got to reverse this trend, or else we're going to have an unfruitful life. We're not going to get nearly as many rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to live a sad life, an unhappy life. And most importantly, we will not bring any more people to Jesus because we're not getting out there as we should. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed as we close this service. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Perhaps you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Rice, you know, I don't know if I have ever trusted Christ as my Savior before. I don't know if I've ever been saved, but I would like to learn more about that. I'd like to ask Jesus to save me from my sins so I can escape the fires of hell and go to heaven when I die. If that's you, just slip up your hand. Quickly, quietly, right there, receive. We invite you to slip to the back so someone can show with their Bible. We can have a couple of our church members go to the back with their Bibles. You can slip right to the back, and we can have someone show you how you can be saved today as a result of you trusting Christ. If you raise your hand, go right to the back right now. We can have someone show you from the Bible how you can be saved today. Just slip right to the back right now, and you can be saved today. It's a wonderful thing to know you're on your way to heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you. It's so important to know that for sure, because the devil doesn't want you to ever get saved, and he wants to take you to hell. But Jesus died on the cross for you, to save you, to take you to heaven. As a Christian, you're here today, you say, Pastor Rice, I've already been saved, but I realize I haven't taken that next step of believer's baptism yet. And I realize my flesh is the only one holding me back. The mind of Christ in me says yes, and I want to say no to my flesh once and for all. I want to get that settled. I want to get baptized in 2 weeks. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there where you're seated. Say, yes, Pastor, I want to do that right now. I want to take that next step of baptism in 2 weeks with you. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there where you're seated. As a Christian, you say, Pastor, I'm saved, I'm baptized, and I haven't yet joined the church. And I realize the devil's the one keeping me from doing this. And I want to say no to the devil and yes to God today. I want to join Northfield Baptist. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there where you're seated. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. No one's looking around. You say, yes, I want to join Northfield Baptist. As a Christian, you say, Pastor, I've already done all those things. But I realize the flesh has been getting the victory. And I don't want that to happen anymore. I want to be a spiritual Christian. And I'm going to ask God today to help me to be a spiritual Christian this week. And that I can learn and grow and make new habit patterns in my life to be a spiritual Christian. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there. You see, amen, amen. I see those hands. Amen, I see those hands. Amen. God bless you. Anyone else? So I'm praying today for God to help me to be a spiritual Christian from here on out. I want to put new habit patterns in my life that God can use. If that's you, just slip up your hand. Amen. I encourage you, if you made that decision to get in the Word each day this week, ask God to help you get in the Word each morning and pray and give your day to God. And then at night, before you go to bed, give your night to God by praying and reading some more Scripture. And you will have a good success rate of being a spiritual Christian. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to look into your Word as it's so practical, meets us right where we're at. Lord, help us to be spiritual Christians and not carnal Christians. Lord, help Northfield Baptist Church to be trophies. All the individual members of this church will be trophies on display that you want us to be, Lord, that you would be proud of us as members of your local church here at Northfield Baptist, that we can represent you well, Lord. Help us not to ill represent you. Help us not to slander your name or drag your name through the mud, through our choices, through our words, through our actions. Lord, help us to lift you up. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to our hymn book, one last hymn, 611. Or actually, John, which one is it, I believe? Cleanse Me, 57. Let's all stand together as we close with this hymn. If you need to come for any reason, maybe you say, I want to be that spiritual Christian, and I want to make it public this morning that I want to do God's will, to put to death my members so that I can have victory in my Christian life. Would you come and kneel at the altar this morning as we sing, Cleanse Me. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me
service tonight. We have another baptism as well as look into God's Word. We're going to see a little bit of the Charles Wesco funeral, his testimony, and then we're going to look into the millennial kingdom of Christ. So we're looking forward to that. Come on back tonight at 7 o'clock to 8:15 for that special service. Let us close in prayer. At this time, I'm going to ask Brother Bob, would you close us?
Father God, Lord, we thank you for this additional look into your word, and we thank you for the pastor's characterizing it as being morticians for Christ. It seems like a little bit of a strange way to put it, but Lord, we know that from the definition of a mortician, it's very close. A mortician is he who sends the death where they need to be and brings the living where they want to be. We just thank you, Lord, for giving us this clear division that we might know that in selecting Christ, we have selected life, and therefore we have nothing to do with death. We just ask, Lord, that you would cause us to be intelligent enough to make the choice between those things which are life, which is Christ, and those things which are death, which is sin. And we just ask that you would allow us to be able to pick out these differences in others. And we think in terms of the thoughts of the scripture separating the sheep from the goats, we just ask, Lord, that you would give us the continuing wisdom to be able to do this. We just thank you, Lord, that we have selected life, and we pray that we might be able to mortify the temptation towards sin in our own being, that we might be able to be made more holy toward you as a result of this. And we just ask, Lord, that you would continue to bless and encourage us for each and everything that we try to do for you. And we just ask that you will add to our efforts your glory and your honor, that we might be able to achieve more for you. And we just ask these things this morning in Christ's name. Amen.
We ask our new members to come on down and stand by the door so we can congratulate.